We are going to be reading this morning from Matthew 13, and we're going to read. We're going to be reading in Matthew 13. Let's see. I lost my place here. We're going to be reading the whole parable of the sower, but we're really going to be focusing in on verses 10 through 17 this morning, and we're going to be looking at this parable for a few weeks coming up. So just keep that in mind. We're going to hopefully get well acquainted with it. But this morning, let's just read through verse 17. How about that? We'll start in verse 1 and just go through 17 from Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they've shut their eyes so they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I know, I left off right before Jesus explains it, and I know the temptation is to keep going, but I want us to stick with verses 10 through 17 this morning. I don't know if anyone else gets confused by the parables of Jesus like me, but I get confused a lot of times when I read those, and I'm not afraid to admit that. I get lost in them sometimes, and it's hard. I mean, I know that, especially when Jesus says things like we just read. I mean, what are we to make when he says to his disciples, "To you it has been given to know the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given"? Have you ever had conversations with people, or maybe you've wondered it yourself, why doesn't God sometimes, why isn't God more direct or demonstrative with how he communicates to us, or at least how we think or we would like God to communicate with us? You know, and especially in today's time when knowing the truth about anything is already pretty hard, what are we to make when Jesus says things like this to us? And at the same time, parables are some of the most beloved verses in the Bible, I feel like. They're some of the most memorable verses in the Bible. There's something about these short stories that Jesus tells that appear throughout the Scriptures. I mean, they just stick with us. Think about the parable of the two lost sons, or the parable of the day laborers that begin working at different times, or the parable of the mustard seed, or the Good Samaritan. You don't even have to really even know anything about it. You don't have to open up the Bible to hear about that one. People talk about that one all the time. But parables have this way of sticking with us. And over the next few weeks, we're gonna unpack and look at this parable here in Matthew 13. And because this parable is really the parable of the parables. It's the parable that talks about why Jesus uses parables in general. And it's just like Jesus to use a parable to talk about why he speaks in parables. I mean, come on, Jesus. But my questions as I read this and as we read these verses is Jesus really trying to keep people away from the knowledge of the kingdom? Does he not want people to be saved? And what if we find ourselves like some of the disciples here wondering, why? God, I'm having trouble understanding that. What does that mean? And so we're going to try to figure that out this morning. And so let's pretend like we're those disciples. We come to Jesus and we say, Lord, why do you speak to us, or why do you speak to them in parables? And you know, the word parable, it comes from a Greek word that means to cast alongside or to set alongside. Parables are these short stories containing immense truth about what Jesus was doing, which was announcing and inaugurating the kingdom of God, the kingdom rule of God. They aren't just fables that contain a common abstract moral truth, you know, kind of like like if you lie a lot, you won't be trusted to tell the truth when you actually do tell it, like the fable of the boy who cried wolf. Now, Jesus' parables are set alongside his mission and everything that he's teaching. They're set alongside his life. And that involves, that mission that involves bringing about the kingdom of God, it involves revealing truth to some, and it also involves concealing that same truth to others. I mean, notice what he says here. He says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. To those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away from them. He's talking about the disciples and about the crowds. He's speaking to a wide range of audience, a wide array of an audience. And in these verses, I think he's describing the very nature of parables. To those who are open-minded and willing to listen, the parables offer knowledge and truth. And the more you have, the more will be given to you. And there's a principle of responsibility here that's at work. The more you have, the more will be given. They're designed to kind of provoke and stir our imaginations, to look deeper than what's there. It reminds me, as a kid, I had these 3D magic eye books. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but they were like this book that you open, and there's like this pattern, this colorful pattern that were there, and you looked at it, and if you just looked at it on the surface, you didn't see much of anything. But if you held it real close and looked at it the right angle and maybe crossed your eyes a little bit, you would actually see an image appear that was hidden by just a quick glance. I don't know if I'm the only one that saw those. They were a lot of fun to me as a kid, and I think maybe that's why I had to have contacts growing up, because I stared at those things so much. But what it was amazing was that there was something there that you had to, that was able to see, but you had to really be looking for it, and you had to be committed to looking for it. I can't tell you how many times I gave up trying to look at those things, not able to see the image. And the parables of Jesus operate in a similar way. There's truth there, but you have to be open to seeing it. But to those whose minds were already made up, for the people that are indifferent to Jesus or filled with other things, the parables, they can be frustrating. They can conceal that same truth. It's like when I go to the grocery store, when Katie asked me to get something at the grocery store, and I look and look and look for that object that she wants, and I can never find it. And it's mainly because in my mind, I already know what it looks like. Oh, it's got this certain label on it. This is exactly where it's supposed to be. And when I get there and it's not there, it's so frustrating. And I usually give up and go home, and Katie tells me it's, you know, two aisles over or right the shelf over. The thing that Jesus is saying is if you have a preconceived understanding of how God's supposed to operate, of who God is and what God's up to, you're never going to be able to see what Jesus is seeing and talking about here. And we see that in many ways in the parables. And I think it goes back to his mission that he's doing. Because again, I think sometimes we confuse and don't understand Jesus' mission. It wasn't just, Jesus didn't come to just teach us to love people and teach us how to go to heaven. Jesus came so that he can bring about the kingdom of God within us, the kingdom rule within us. And this, therefore, necessarily confronts us with things. It confronts the ways in which we like to rebel against God's rule within us. It upends our value system that we have as individuals and as a society. And it causes us to make a choice about Jesus. It causes us to decide, is Jesus just this nice teacher that we're going to have on the side who's going to bail us out when we're not sure what to do? Or is he some crazy radical? Or maybe, just maybe, he's the Son of God who can bring about what we've always been waiting for, the reality of what it means to truly be human and to live in this world. Is he the Son of God who owns my life? And if the parables are set beside his mission, we need to be mindful of that. And we need to be mindful. In this parable, leading up to this parable, in chapters 11 and 12, what we see is a variety of interactions taking place with Jesus. In Matthew 11, 1 through 6, we see that John the Baptist is in prison and wondering and questioning, is Jesus this Messiah that's supposed to come or not? In fact, he sends people to go ask Jesus, are you the one to come or not? After this, we see there's crowds of people who misunderstand Jesus and they reject Jesus. Later in that same chapter, we see that whole towns, Jesus says, look, if I had done what I had done in these towns, in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would be saved. And these towns who rejected me, they're in great danger. And in chapter 12, we see the Pharisees and religious leaders, they accuse Jesus of being this radical who wants to tear down the system that they know to be of God. And even at the very end of the chapter, Jesus' own family looks at him and kind of misunderstands who he is. Imagine trying to teach and trying to talk about the kingdom to all these different audiences. How would you go about doing it? These audiences that range from being openly unrepentant and openly hostile toward him to just being mildly misunderstanding. Jesus, therefore, speaks in parables. And I think part of the reason he does this is to protect himself and to protect his mission that he's going about doing. It's a dangerous task to confront people. It's why parables are used in the Old Testament. I think about the story of King David and Nathan the prophet. How when David in the Old Testament goes so far and sleeps with another man's wife, possibly through coercion, he gets her pregnant and then he has her husband killed. He's thinking, I've got my tracks covered. No one's going to find out about this except for the fact that God knows about it and God speaks to Nathan the prophet and sends him to go confront him. And I don't know about you, but if I was to go to the president of the United States or go to the president of the country and tell them straight up, hey, this thing that you've been hiding, this thing that you've got this whole plot built around that you're doing, God sees, and I'm supposed to go confront them, I think I'd choose my words very carefully. And Nathan the prophet does that. He tells him a parable that at the very end gets David all riled up, and then David drops the truth on him that, hey, guess what? This is about you. And Jesus does this same thing. If we were to look over in Matthew 21, we read about how Jesus goes into Jerusalem the final time before he's to be arrested. And at the end of the chapter, Jesus tells the parable of the wicked tenants. And without going into it too far, at this point in his ministry, it's getting pretty clear to everybody that he is opposed to the religious leaders. And so Matthew gives us a little commentary after the parable in verses 45 and 46. It says, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard about his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. And they wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. They feared him, and so they wanted to arrest him. And as we go on to know, they go ahead and do that. But Jesus doesn't just tell these parables to conceal truth to protect himself. He tells the parables because he knows our human nature better than anyone, which is what he's describing in verses 13, 14, and 15. It says in those verses, With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, you will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing. And they have shut their eyes so they might not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. And I would heal them. These verses used to bother me because I used to, like I said earlier, believe that if God wanted to save everybody, if God wanted to help us, then why in the world would he keep things from us? Why intentionally try to keep things from us? And then I realized that I was reading these verses backwards. These verses aren't, when Jesus tells them, he's talking and describing about humanity's relationship to God and his mission, and not describing God's relationship to humanity. In other words, God is not up there trying to keep things from us. What Jesus is saying is, look, there's things about who I am that if your heart isn't right, if you aren't committed to me, if you aren't willing to look and be open, that you're never going to be able to understand. God is not trying to prevent anyone from seeing, hearing, or experiencing salvation. What he's rather doing is saying, look, to follow me, it's going to cost you something, and you have to be aware of the cost. You have to make sure that you have ears to listen. How many of us have struggled maybe when we were younger with hearing advice from people? Maybe we knew exactly what someone needed to hear, and we'd tell them, but they wouldn't listen to us. In fact, when I was going into college, my parents, I'll never forget, they told me weeks and weeks leading up to college, maybe beyond that, they said, Paul, stay away from credit cards. Stay away from credit cards. Don't go near them in college. 2 weeks into college, what did I see? An ad for, I think it was Papa John's, and they said, hey, we'll give you a free pizza if you sign up for this credit card. You know what I did? I got myself a free pizza and I signed up for a credit card, okay? I didn't use it once, but the stack of mail that was sent to my parents' house, because I used their address, that was kind of dumb, was what just kept growing and growing. Look, sometimes people can tell us things and we just don't get it for whatever reason. Maybe it's because we are stubborn and set in our ways. Maybe because we think we know better. Maybe because there's things in our life that we care about more than the truth they're trying to give us. And in the same way, y'all, God is saying, look, to follow me, you have to make sure your heart is right. And if your heart is right, if your heart is tender and responsive, and we're going to talk more about this, there is immense truth here that can save your life. There is immense truth here that can change everything about you. This isn't just about going to heaven. It's about being made new right here and right now. And Jesus knows us better than we even know ourselves. He knows the things of our heart that we're not willing to give up, strongholds that we build our identity around that need to go. Jesus is saying to us here, look, there's some things that you have to understand, and parables are a way to speak about them and prepare you to really hear them. Paul says the same thing in Acts. The very last word of Acts is Paul saying these same verses, quoting these same verses from Isaiah, almost as a last word saying, look, church, are you willing to listen? Are you willing to let go of what you think you know and lay it all before God and say, Lord, teach me? Because, y'all, let's not forget that some things are worth the struggle. Some things are worth staring at that book for hours trying to see that image. Some things are worth digging a little deeper into the Scriptures. Some things are worth giving our whole life to that we might gain something in its place. And as Jesus says here, blessed are your eyes for they see, and your ears for they hear. And I don't know about you, but one of the things that I come back to in my walk with Christ is just how good and how faithful and how life-changing Jesus really can be. And as I look around this room, I see people that have walked with Christ for a long time in many cases. I see people here that I know whose lives have been changed and shaped by Jesus. People who maybe have gone through periods and seasons in their life when maybe it was a little dry. Maybe they were in a spiritual rut, but who kept with it. And God said, and God rewarded you and said, I'm giving you more. And so as I think about those things, I want us over these next few weeks, as we look into this parable, as we look and talk about what is this word, what is this seed that the Lord wants to plant within us? What are these different soils that God describes our hearts being like? This parable is a challenge for all of us to think about how do we relate to Christ? It's a parable that asks us to decide what is our commitment toward Jesus all about. And it's a parable that asks us to really go within ourselves and say, if Jesus is who he says he is, if we believe Jesus is the Son of God, what is keeping us from experiencing that life-changing power of his word? I hope that when we leave here today, and as we go over these next few weeks, that you'll read through this parable, that you'll let your imagination and you'll let yourself think about and wonder and hunger for what this word is, and think about how this parable might be applying to you. Because I know I've been wrestling with how it might be applying to me. And as we look forward to what God has in store for us as a church, what our vision is, I think it's important that we discern that and think about that as we're discerning our own hearts. What is the heartbeat of our church? And how is God calling us to become fertile soil? Let's pray. God, Lord, help us to be people that have ears and eyes to hear. Help us, God, to have a heart that understands. Lord, help us when we come to you thinking that we're wise, thinking we know what it's like to know what the kingdom is, to know what the truth is, and help us to be humble and to admit, Lord, when we need more help. Help us, God, as we approach this parable and as we wrestle with this great opportunity that you have given us to not be stubborn, to not be unwilling to go deeper, to not be unwilling to allow our hearts to be made new, to allow you to soften us, to receive your word and not reject it. Help us, God, to have a heart and a life, Lord, that values you more than anything. And God, I pray that you would give us a hunger over the next few weeks to really look within ourselves and to discover the ways in which your Spirit is calling us to be made new. Give us ears to hear, Lord, eyes to see, and a heart that is tender and responsive to your leading. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. My friends, regardless of maybe where you stand right now, maybe I know this was kind of an introduction to this parable that we're going to be looking at, but I hope you know that your heart is contained within this parable, that your life is contained within this parable. And if Jesus offers us something that is priceless, if you have a life that maybe you know Christ, but maybe you've just felt unproductive, maybe you just haven't felt fruitful here recently, I want to encourage you to stick with us these next few weeks, because maybe God's going to speak a truth to you about his mission and going to reveal to you things that is going to unlock the nature of your own heart to be that productive, life-giving source for yourself and for others. And so as we get ready to worship here, I just want to encourage you to pray and to hunger these next few weeks for the Lord's word and for God's Spirit teaching us about this parable. Let's worship our Lord.